Welcome to Maranatha Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Femi Fenoyo.
We have joined a series that I've been doing on Maranatha YouTube teaching channel titled The Bible. We have joined the series at the beginning of another season, which we have titled The Story of the Whole Bible.
We are looking at Genesis chapter 4. We are in verse 6 to 7. And we've been looking at this intimate conversation that God had with Cain. Even after Cain has messed up, God still came to have this conversation with him. And God warned Cain of the danger ahead if he continues in the wicked, evil, rebellious path that he was following. And we looked at this warning of God in Genesis chapter 4, the second part of verse 7. And we looked at it, didn't we, in four steps. So let's have a look at that picture again, that chart again. So this is the way we looked at it. And remember, this is from the Amplified Bible, and we are reading from below and we are reading it straight up. And we have looked at it in four steps. And I'm not going to go again into what we've said. God said, "And if you do not do well, but ignored my instruction, sin crouches at your door. His desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it." And we have looked at the dire warning that was involved in those four steps. And to help us understand what Cain needed to do, to help us understand the instruction that God was giving Cain, what Cain needed to do in order to gain victory and master the sin that crouches at his door. What we then did is that we compared this Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, to an instruction that God gave believers in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9a. And also we read that again in four steps, and it mirrored very nicely what we read in Genesis chapter 4. Let me put that back again also on the screen. So remember again, we are reading from down and we are reading all the way up. Okay, so be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Today, let's go back to Cain. And what we want to look at is to look at step 4 in the instruction that God gave to Cain. God said, but you must master it. God was telling Cain that this is the way out. This is the way out. This is the blueprint for victory. You are in a great danger. You've opened up yourself to be overpowered. You've opened up yourself. You've allowed an entrance to the enemy, to the thief. The thief has gained an entrance into your compound and is going to steal, kill, or destroy. But there is still a chance for you, God was telling Cain, there is still a chance for you actually to make things right. Cain, you must overcome. You must master. You must rule over. You must dominate. You must gain control, God was telling Cain, and reign over this evil that wants to destroy you. This is what God was telling Cain, because if you don't take over, if you don't take control, if you don't dominate, then this evil will destroy you. The question we then ask ourselves is, but how will Cain master this evil? Is it by playing dead or playing hide and seek game? Is that the way Cain is going to master this evil? Or is it by making New Year resolution? Is it by practicing positive thinking? Is that the way he's going to master this evil? Is it by trusting in his own strength? Or is it by trusting in his own wisdom? Or will Cain overcome this evil by punching and kicking the beast, this lion that is crouching? Will Cain overcome by entering into a physical verbal combat with this beast of destruction and, you know, physically fighting it, kicking it with his fist and his feet? Is that the way that Cain is going to overcome this? No, that is not the way. No. Cain cannot, and we cannot. Cain cannot overcome, cannot master, cannot rule over, cannot dominate, cannot control. He cannot reign over the evil that is crouching at his doorstep, ready to destroy him. He cannot overcome it in his own strength. He cannot do that. Unfortunately, oftentimes we try to do it in our own strength. We try to shout more. We try to shake more. We try to do all sorts of things. But Cain can overcome in his own strength. He must follow the example of his brother Abel. And we read it in that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, contemporary English version. What was the way of Abel? The Bible says, because Abel had faith, he offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and God was pleased with him and his gift. And even though Abel is now dead, his faith still speaks for him. It was because Abel walked and lived by faith that he and his offering were accepted by God. It was because he walked in faith. That was the way of victory. And Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2 in the Message translation says, the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. I'll read that again. The Message Bible, Hebrews 11, 2. It said, the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors. And it is working and living by faith that will distinguish us Christians from the unbeliever. It's not the act, it's not the tradition, it's not all those gymnastics we put on. It is living and walking by faith, just like the fathers. That is what is going to set us apart from the crowd. That is what is going to distinguish us from other religion. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That was the way of Abel. And that is still the way of victory. And if Cain must overpower this evil that he has unleashed upon his own life by his rebellion and unbelief, he will have to learn this way of Abel. For Cain to overcome, to master, to rule over, to dominate, to control, and to reign over the evil, he must follow the instruction that we receive from that 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9 that we read just now. He said, be sober, be vigilant. And then he said, this adversary, the devil, that is roaring like a lion, wanting to devour you, the Bible says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, is still the same victory formula. It's still the same victory formula. Resist steadfast in the faith. And we looked in the last episode the detail of what that means. Cain must resist, must withstand evil with a solid rock-like firmness in his faith. That is the only way he's going to get out of this jam that he has gotten himself into. Remember what we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, contemporary English version this time. Every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us this victory. This is the victory. It's not crying. It's not shouting. It's not gyrating. It is faith. And I think we could say that faith gives us wings. Faith gives us wings. Ultimately, when we look very closely at the story of Cain and Abel, ultimately, the story of Cain and Abel is a portrait of unbelief on the part of Cain and faith on the part of Abel. I will say that again. Ultimately, when we sit down and we dissect and we look closely at this, the story of these two brothers, why was one rejected with his offering? Why was the other one accepted with his offering? Why was Cain rejected with his offering? It was because his manner of life, his way of life, his offering is a portrait of unbelief. Why was Abel and his offering received? It's because his manner of life is work and his offering is a portrait of faith. So ultimately, the story of Cain and Abel is a portrait of unbelief and faith. So ultimately, when it comes down to the bare minimum, when it comes down to the bare foundational and fundamental of this story, ultimately, Cain's problem was a problem in the arena of faith. Cain lost the plot. He lost the battle because he did not believe God because he was walking in unbelief. Ultimately, that was where the battle was won for Abel, and that was where the battle was lost for Cain. So what I want to do today is that I just want to do a crash course on faith, a crash course on faith. And the way I'm going to do this is that I'm just going to project some thought. They are biblical thoughts. These are thought, biblical thought that we could sit down and go into the scripture. But the way I want to do is to just project this thought. It's a crash course on faith. How did Abel come to walk in faith? So the first thing, the foundation and fundamental of faith is that God is. God is. God exists. God is. And God is who he is in himself. So God is, and God is who he is in himself. God is God in himself. So let's take this first thought and let's look at it. God is. Now, we say God exists. Actually, that is a little bit an oxymoron because God, it's not as if God started having existence. No, God is there. God is. God is reality. God is. Whether we ignore it or whether we want to contest that or whether we want to argue with that, it doesn't take away from the fact that God is. Is. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it said, he that comes to God must believe that he is. Our belief doesn't create God. God is. God is. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have a end. Why? Because he is God in himself. God is God in himself. It cannot be anything but God. He is who he is in himself. He is God with all the attributes and characters and nature that can only be attributed to him. Remember, we are looking at faith. We are looking at a life of faith. The fundamental of a life of faith, the portrait of a man and a woman of faith. The fundamental of developing a life of faith, of walking in faith. This is the foundation. The foundation is God. God is. God is at the foundation of everything. God is. He is who he is in himself. God does not depend on anything outside himself for existence. It does not have beginning. It does not have end. God does not depend on any externality for his existence. God is, this is difficult to say. God is existent. He doesn't have it. He is existence. Hallelujah. Existence exists because of God. You understand what I'm saying? God is. He is who he is in himself. God cannot be anything less than himself. He is God in himself. And this is the foundation. God is not a man. God is God. And that knowledge is very, very important for any life and work of faith. We don't argue with him. We don't want to negotiate with him. We worship him as God. We see him. We know him. We understand him. We approach him as God. So that is the first thought. Let's go on to the second thought. Second thought. God revealed himself to us. Through that revelation, we know him. I will read that again. God revealed himself to us, and through that revelation, we know him. Now, this is very, very important. Obviously, this is building from the first thought that we have. God is who he is in himself. God is God in himself. But then God revealed himself to us. And that we've mentioned a couple of ways that God have done this in the past. The way when we're talking about, remember when we're talking about revelation, inspiration, and all those things. God revealed himself to us. God revealed himself in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. God revealed himself. When God bring people closer to him, what God does is reveal himself. And he revealed himself so that we can come into a relationship with him. Through that revelation, we know him. Now, we need to understand that we don't know, let me put it in that way, we just know the tip of the iceberg about God. What we know of God is that which God has reveal of himself. And God can only reveal this much of himself to us because that is the much that we can cope with. Hallelujah. God revealed himself to us. And throughout eternity, can you imagine that? Throughout eternity, God will continue throughout eternity to reveal his glory, his power, his wisdom throughout eternity. And the reason why God revealed himself is that so that we can know him. Now, if we reject God's revelation of himself and we create our own revelation, then that God that we are serving is not the true God. And that is the problem with Cain, that Cain decided to do his own thing. God revealed himself to us, and his revelation is being housed for us in the Bible. And God did that so that we may know him. In the Old Testament, there are ways that God revealed himself. But in the New Testament, there are ways that God revealed himself. Hallelujah. Let's go on to the third point. And this is building on the last step. We know God only because he revealed himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God. We know God only and only because he revealed himself. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God. The truth is that if God does not reveal himself, we cannot know him. Period. We can only know God through the channel that God has opened up for us to know him. And that channel is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, they had the prophet. In the Old Testament, they have the priesthood and the temple worship and all those things. But the one channel where God has ultimately revealed himself is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we must know God, and if we must have fellowship with him, we must come by the way of the cross, by the way of the blood, and by the way of Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God. Now, let's go on to the next one. Remember, we are looking at a life, building a life of faith. The more of God we know, the greater and stronger our faith becomes. Let's read that again. The more of God you and I know, the greater and stronger our faith becomes. Hallelujah. That goes without saying, isn't it? How do I build a life of faith? Know God. The more of God I know, the greater and stronger my faith becomes. The more I trust him, the more I lean on him, the more I know him, the greater and stronger my faith becomes. You know, oftentimes when we want to build faith, people study faith because they want to build faith. There's nothing wrong in studying the concept of faith. But if you want to build faith in somebody, the best way is to know them. The knowledge of the holy. I know God. Paul said that I may know him. And there was a point where Paul was in a dire danger. He said, I know him whom I serve. I know him. His angel appeared to me. Hallelujah. What about Joshua and Caleb? They said, look, don't do evil and turn against God. And they began to call to mind the things that God have done. And that was the reason why they were of the work in greater faith. They said, don't do this. Can you remember what God has done? The knowledge of God, the more of God we know, the greater and stronger our faith becomes. Obviously, we have our own duty to fellowship, to seek God, to inquire after God, so that God can progressively reveal more of himself to us. Let's go on to the next thought. Hallelujah. As we truly know God, we will worship and obey him, because God only is God. I'll read that again. As we truly know God, we will worship and obey him, because God only is God. If I don't worship God, if I don't obey God, and I say that I know God, I am a liar. So when we look at the life of Cain, we see that actually he did not know God. Well, the knowledge here is not to say, you know, I know the face of somebody. We are talking about a revelation of who God is. If Cain asked, if he truly knew God, he would have worshipped him rightly. Because if you and I truly know God, we will fear him. We've mentioned that. If I truly know God, I will obey him. I will worship him. I will fear him. I will not live a life that would displease him if I truly know God. Now, let's move on to the last point in this, our thought about building a life of faith. So God, through Christ, is both the subject and the content of our faith. God, through Christ Jesus, is both the subject and the content of our faith. And this is absolutely wonderful. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, is the source and the content of our faith, the revelation of God, who God is. And this is the way of Abel. This is the way to develop a strong faith. This is the way of victory. This is the faith that overcomes the world, even our faith. The question we then ask ourselves, and we're going to pick this up by the grace of God next episode, is will Cain fall at the feet of God and repent and cry out for mercy? Will he? Will he move away from this life of rebellion and start living and walking the path of faith? Will he do that? Will he cry out and ask God to help him to believe? Will he ask God, Lord, help me, forgive me, help me to believe? Or will Cain doggedly continue down this path of destruction? And we are going to pick this up by the grace of God. And I'm talking to you if you are listening to me. Are you following doggedly your own path of destruction, saying, you know, there are so many ways that leads to God? No, there's not so many ways. We can only come to God, like we said, only through the prescribed way that God has laid down. And that way is Jesus Christ. There is no other name that is given among men whereby we might be saved. So you and I, we need to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to be your Lord. He will be my champion. Be my savior. Be my guide. Save me, will. He will come in. Admit that you're a sinner. He will take that heart of sin out of you. Give you the heart of a son, of a daughter. He will be your father. He will be your God, your Lord. He will walk the rest of your life here with you. And when this is all over, you will spend eternity with him in the new heaven and new earth. Do it now. We sincerely invite you to check out our teachings on YouTube, Maranatha Teaching Channel. They will bless you. Thank you.